Well, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Well, good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a beautiful day to be here in the house of the Lord, is it not? All the beautiful flowers and the trees outside, just speak to us of new life, don't they? A few announcements to before we begin our service. Our Bible study of sorts that will be on the book American Saint about Francis Asbury, our founder and namesake here at the church. If you would like to learn some more about that, send me an email and let me know that you would like to take part. Just find the book. You can get it on Amazon or wherever. And we'll, but you don't need to purchase the book in order to take part in the study. I'll do a synopsis of some of the chapters, and we'll have some nice discussion and questions and things of that nature to learn not only about Asbury then, but also about where we as a church can learn from our founder and all that. So that's going to be taking place on Mondays beginning May the 12th, and we'll meet each Monday at 6 for about an hour, except Memorial Day, so you get that one off. So it'll be technically a 5-week study, but over the course of 6 weeks. So if you would like to take part in that, just send me an email or let me know, and I will get you included on our list. And please note also all the updates there from Manna, and there'll be more about the Native American ministry Sunday during the bread tin collection. Are there announcements that may not have made it into the bulletin? It looks like Ann has one.
No handbells this week, but choir this week. Don't forget, there's a registry on the piano if you have a musical selection that you would like included in whatever form you want it in the worship service. And we are finalizing the dates for defibrillator training, and those should get out this week. And so I hope that everybody will be able to participate in that. It's an important thing for us to learn.
Anne's kind of our contact point on that. So if you would like to take part in the defibrillator training that's being offered here, please just let Anne know. And handbells will start back on the 7th of May. Any other announcements? Jessica. All right. Empty coffee cans. Yes. Jessica needs them. She's learning to play the drums. No. Well, I invite you to stand as we sing together our opening hymn, which is number 304, Easter People, Raise Your Voices. Let's stand as we offer our praise. I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 748, as we read responsively from the 16th Psalm. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your godly one see the pit.
You show me the path of life. Please be seated, and I invite our children to join Sally Ann up front for our children's time.
We going to do? There's not enough room for everybody to sit there. How about you all sit on the floor and I'll sit there? Okay? We're going to switch places this morning because the lilies have the railing all crowded up. Asia, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, did anybody pay attention to the words of the song we just sang or the title of the song, the hymn? The title was Easter People, Raise Your Voices. Who were Easter people? People who knew about God, us. But what do they know about God? What about what?
That God was born on Easter.
Say that.
God was born on Easter.
God, well, but that actually brings up a very good theological question. Yes. God, we know God through who? Who are you talking about being who died? Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, and Jesus, we celebrate his birth at Christmas, but he was reborn when he rose from the dead
at Easter.
So we could say that. And really, our understanding of who God and who Jesus as part of the Trinity of God, oh boy, we weren't going to get into that today. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll just stop with that for right now, but that's three. God, Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Three is a Trinity. Try. But Easter is the time we came to know Jesus as who God sent Jesus to be, the one who took death upon his shoulders and died on the cross so that he could rise again. So we didn't understand Jesus until Easter. Jesus didn't want to die, but he understood that that's why he came to earth. He understood that.
He wanted to die in the Holy Spirit.
He wanted to die in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's possible too. I was just going to have a simple lesson this morning. And somehow or another, Easter does this to us. Easter was last Sunday, wasn't it? But you know why we come to church every Sunday?
No.
Because every Sunday is a little Easter. We celebrate Easter every Sunday of the year and hopefully every day of the year, yes.
What about the Easter on Christmas?
Well, we celebrate more the birth on Christmas, but we wouldn't celebrate the birth if the Easter hadn't happened, would we? It gets very confusing. It doesn't, does it? Jesus rose from the dead because God made Jesus and all of us that way, that we can be resurrected and live again in a new life after death. What, I'm not sure how to answer that one, Asia. We'll continue that discussion. What I want us to focus on this morning is that just because last Sunday was Easter, the big Easter, that doesn't mean that we don't celebrate the death and the resurrection and even the birth every Sunday, because we come together every Sunday to remember Jesus and remember that Jesus is part of God and our understanding of a Trinitarian God, three in one. It is pretty cool, but it is confusing. And we could take the rest of the morning to keep asking questions, but right now, let's remember that this is a little Easter, as is every Sunday, and that we celebrate the resurrection. One more question. We believe that our God is represented to us in three different ways. God the Creator and Sustainer, God the Father of Jesus. But then we also believe that God came to us in Jesus Christ, the Son, and came and walked on earth. And we believe that the Holy Spirit remains with us as Jesus and God gave us the Holy Spirit after Jesus went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And if you get a full understanding of all of that and can claim that, then you can be marked as one of the theologians of our time. Theologians are people who study and explain all of these things about God. Let us continue our time, perhaps a minute with, I don't know, Claire probably has something much more creative planned for Children's Church, but I don't want to end this discussion, but I do want us to remember that we are in the presence of worship and that we'd like to continue with that. So I'm going to have a little prayer, and then we'll have our bread tin offering, which is a loose change offering for the Blackfeet Nation, and we will hear a little bit more about that. But let's stand and join hands for our prayer, okay? I'll grab my elbow. Thank you. I think he'll get it in just a minute. Gracious and holy God, your children are full of questions and eager to learn and fill their minds and their very beings with understandings about you, and it's not easy. So I ask that we just come this day to celebrate Easter again. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, and that is why we are here. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of that, that we may share with others. Amen. All right, I need four folks to help with the bread tin, and I see Elliot's hand there, and Miss Chloe, Eliza, and okay, you go this side, and Harper, and Lila, if you'll go on that, you go help and take
this
turns.
This is our last Sunday of the month for the collection for the Blackfeet Methodist Church Parish. For those of you who may not know, the Blackfeet Methodist Parish's three churches, Babb, Browning, and Pistodoki United Methodist Churches are located there on the Blackfeet Reservation, which is just outside of Glacier National Park in the northwest corner of Montana. It's a beautiful area, but also an area very full of poverty and all sorts of great need. Next Sunday will also be our Native American Heritage Sunday, in which we, or Native American Ministry Sunday, rather. There'll be a special envelope, so if you, you know, like to write a check for something like that, please remember to bring your checkbook, because that will be one of our special offerings for the year that also goes to help with other things related to Native American ministries that our that the conference and the denomination as a whole does. So please give generously as you are able. Well, before our scriptures are read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Guiding God, send your Holy Spirit upon the reading of your word, that it may serve to show us the path of life and lead us into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson today is from Acts chapter 2, verse 14a and verses 22 through 32. It's found on page 111 in the Pew Bible. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained." But Thomas, who's called the twin, one of the 12, was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did this and many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our risen Redeemer. Amen. It's truly amazing to think about how transportation systems have changed just even in the course of our lifetime. But if we think way, way back, in Jesus's time, an innovation in transportation might have been considered a pair of sandals, right? Or maybe a Roman road if we want to take it a little bit further. But here in our day and age, we could even go to space now if we have the money. I want us to think about something real quick. There's back as much as travel and travel systems have changed, they also remain the same. If you have flown, you're very familiar with the difference in tickets, aren't you? You got what? Coach, right? You got business class, and then the ever sought after first class, right? I mean, where you get, and you get different meals, different food, or maybe you get food based on the differences in those. I'll never forget one time I was flying to Israel on an airline that's no longer around, Olympic Airlines, the Greek one, and they had oversold the flight. And so I went to get in my seat, and there was an elderly Greek lady who was already in my seat who spoke no English. And she was very adamant that this was her seat and that she was not giving it up. And so the stewardess came by and she said to me, "Well, here, Mr. Goforth, you can just come on up to first class." I said, "Oh, okay." And this made the elderly Greek lady very, very mad. And the stewardess said, no, ma'am, you made it very clear this was your seat and you were not giving it up." So a lesson in humility there. But even back in the what we might call the Wild, Wild West with stagecoaches, they even had a system of class with regards to the tickets. You had first class, second class, and third class. But the way that it worked, instead of having nicer seats, instead of having better meals or better drink or whatever, instead it was a little different. See, it was all basically the same 6 or 8 seats in one of those stagecoaches. But the difference came when times got tough. You see, if you had a first class ticket, you didn't have to get out of the stagecoach at all. You were allowed to just sit in your spot and sit there while, let's say there's a big mud puddle that the stagecoach got stuck in. Well, if you're a first class ticket holder, you just get to sit there while they work it out, the driver mostly. If you're a second class ticket holder on a stagecoach, then you didn't have to help them get the stagecoach unlodged from the mud puddle, but you had to get out, you know, so it's a little bit lighter. Now, and then there's the wonderful third class ticket. Can you guess what you had to do if you were a third class ticket holder? You had to get out into the mud and push. The more things change, the more they remain the same, don't they? The reason I bring up classes and tickets and stagecoaches, the disciples in our gospel lesson this morning have just learned that they no longer possess a first or second class ticket on the stagecoach to heaven. Whenever Jesus was around, they got to sit back. They got to watch. They got to be witnesses to amazing miracles. They got to see all sorts of great stuff that they didn't really have to do a whole lot themselves. And then the going got tough, didn't it? Then the going got very tough, and they got out of the stagecoach and ran, most of them. And then in our gospel lesson, they're huddled together in that locked room in fear, in worry, tensions about all that sort of stuff. Oh, is the same fate that happened to Jesus going to happen to us? What is going to happen? And then some of them have talked about how they have seen appearances of Jesus there. And one of them, Thomas, doubting Thomas, right? He wasn't present for all that. And so many of them believe, but some of them, Thomas wasn't the only one that didn't believe these things. Thomas just hadn't had that experience yet with the risen Lord. But they're all huddled together there in that room. And I think it's easy for us to get our minds focused on doubting Thomas and the fact that he didn't believe, right? Thomas didn't have enough faith, and so he doubted and didn't believe, and this is bad. And we totally ignore the other part, which I would say is the main part to this story that happened just before. In verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Their titles even reflect their lower class status. Apostles. You know, you've heard of them called disciples or apostles before, but that word apostles comes from a Greek word apostolos, which means sent one. Someone who is sent is an apostle. And Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." They've just been given a third class ticket, haven't they? They got to get out of the stagecoach. And they got to get into the mud, and they have to start pushing because the going has gotten tough. No longer could they stand by idly talking about Jesus. No longer could they sit in the coach. No longer could they even stand by as they watched everybody else do the work. No longer could they simply be disciples, students. Now they were apostles, sent ones. They were now charged to go out of their cozy, comfy, locked room where they felt safe and to unleash the kingdom of heaven upon the world in a radically new way. There was a young blacksmith apprentice back in Birmingham, England, in the late 1700s. And he attended a local Anglican church there, and there was a Methodist itinerant minister, preacher, who came by. And the Methodists in England back then were known for not writing out their sermons. They did not do that at all. They spoke from the heart, you know. They just kind of said what was there. And this young blacksmith apprentice was just really amazed at what he had heard. And he felt so convicted that he decided he was also being called to be one of those sent out people who goes around and who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. He soon found himself on a boat bound for America, and despite his lack of education, he was there to share the good news of Christ with everyone. He would never return to his native England. He would never see his mother or father again, not even to return home for a funeral. He never went back to England and stayed in America for the rest of his life. He would die penniless and worn out from a life of nonstop travel on a horse. By some estimations, this guy rode over 400,000 miles on a horse, crossing the Allegheny Mountains 40 times. I mean, that's amazing to think about that. Crossing the Allegheny Mountains on a horse 40 different times. Anybody take a wild guess as to who this guy was? Francis Asbury, right? Well, he wrote in his journal on his way over. He was on that boat, and somebody else said to him, "You're doing what? You're going to America. You're leaving your family. You're leaving your, you had a blacksmith apprenticeship, right? You had a job. You had family. You had friends. You had also at least some sense of stability. And you're uprooting all that and going to America. Why?" And he wrote in his journal the answer that he gave the young man. He said that he was going to America as a Methodist minister to live to God and to bring others to do so. Pretty simple, huh? To live to God and to bring others to do so. Tradition has it that Doubting Thomas did his share of traveling as well, though we don't really hear much about Thomas. I've written an article for our upcoming newsletter that's going to go out this week on Thomas, St. Thomas the Apostle, and who it was that he was and what sorts of things he did other than just doubting that one time. Do you know that in 52 AD, Thomas went all the way to India? I mean, that's an incredible journey to undertake in the first century. In the year 52 AD, he went all the way to India, probably for much the same reason as Francis Asbury. But I just love this juxtaposition that we have if we look at the lives of the apostles. From this upper room right after Easter, where they're huddled together, worried, scared, just in fear and trembling, as Kierkegaard might say. They're stuck there in that little room, and they're just so full of anxiety and huddled together. But then, right after Jesus comes and says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you," right after Jesus delivers them their third-class tickets, they go out, and they go all over the place, and they feather out all over the known world. Back then, I love that. I think it's a beautiful juxtaposition there between those disciples right after Easter and those disciples later on in their lives. So I ask you, what class ticket do you have? What class ticket do you want? What class ticket on the stagecoach to heaven are you holding? I hope that you pack some good shoes. Because there are no first or second class tickets available for such a trip, are there? There's no such thing as a first class trip to heaven. Francis Asbury would have loathed after a luxurious third class ticket on one of those stagecoaches, wouldn't he? St. Thomas, I'm sure, would have loved a third class ticket on a stagecoach. But this is not just about a trip, is it? I mean, this is about a way of life. This is about a way of orienting ourselves in such a life of service and in such a life of ministry, each and every one of us. You can stay huddled in a ball of worry and fear behind locked doors, or you can go out to live to God and to bring others to do so. But I can't choose for you. Heaven's stagecoach awaits. Amen. Our hymn's number 504, "The Old Rugged Cross." Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Draw your attention to our prayer list. It's also continued on the next page of the bulletin as well. I ask that you be in prayer for all of the folks here throughout the week that are listed on our bulletin in the prayer list. But I have a bit of joy to share as well. Mia Lumpkins is home after surgery in Atlanta. She's 8 weeks old, is that right? Eight months. And doing great after her heart surgery. So quite a joy there. Our prayers continue to be with you and Mia, Steve, and Judy. Are there others you'd lift up this day? Well, if not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, for all the blessings that you have given us in this life, we offer you our thanks and praise. And none are we more thankful for than the gift of life and life eternal through your Son. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, as you touched and healed so many, so now, O Lord, we ask that you touch and heal those near and dear to us. For all of those people and situations that we lift up to you in silence now, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we ask that you send your Spirit upon us as you did your apostles so long ago, that as we are sent out, that we might go with your peace and with your wholeness, and with your grace, sharing your great good news with all of those we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. Let us rise. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, author of life and giver of all good things, accept these, our gifts to you, O Lord, that they might go to relieve suffering and to bring life to all of those in need. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And you are invited to remain standing for our last hymn. It's number 166, All Praise to Thee, for Thou, O King Divine. It's a tune that I'm sure you all know. Which is For All the Saints. So it's a similar, familiar tune. Number 166, All Praise to Thee. Peace be with you. Amen.